Phil, there are so many great television shows and movies.
That's right. Thank goodness Resonance Rewind has the team to analyze them on a personal basis. Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind.
Looking guilty is all it takes. And could you go without food or water for 36 hours? And would it impact you? Just two of the conundrums that are facing the team at Resonance Rewind in their latest exploration of the unknown.
This man is an enemy of the Federation, tried and convicted.
4 years ago, there were many activist groups. The only one that really meant anything was led by Rog Blake.
At first, I thought they wanted to silence me because I was the witness to the murder of 20 people.
Do not attempt to resist arrest.
I butchered my family, my friends.
Every year, more people defy the Federation.
Reality is a dangerous concept. Each one of us interprets it in a slightly different way. Okay, just one of the quotes from this Terry Nation opener. In many ways, the pilots to what would be 52 weeks of Blake 7 adventure, wonderment, etc., in which, of course, the unanswered question at the time back in the 1970s was, where are the seven, basically? Where are his seven sort of numbers? Well, it does work out, and we'll talk about that another time. But we do have Pamela Sue Mann to share her thoughts on this particular entry into, I think, January the 2nd, 1978, when this was first transmitted. So over to you, Pamela.
In fact, creating an illusion of reality is quite simple.
We do it every week with Resonance Rewind.
I loved it. I really love the vibe, I suppose, of 1978, just the total look of it. I mean, what I really appreciate is, well, the acting was superb, really. But the use of silence, I think silence is so underestimated in the impact of film and television. Now there's every space is filled up with music, and there's so much silence. I don't even know how much music there is in an entire episode. I'd be curious to know. But what music was there, or sound effects, I absolutely loved. And my favorite moment was the beginning, the little camera, the adorable little camera that I wish I had in my own home. Not that I want to, give surveillance for other people. It's just, it was so cute the way it moved its little eyes towards what was going. It just was adorable. Oh, and it reminded me of Epcot in Disney.
Well, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow is a neat way of actually going all the way down to Orlando. And of course, that is the state of Florida that Miami is based in. And Kathy Mann, so presumably you may never have encountered Blake Seven before this particular incarnation. So what are your thoughts, Kathy?
Yeah, you're right. I've never seen Blake Seven. Watched it earlier today, try to take in the full experience. And I really enjoyed the storyline. I thought it was interesting, especially since it's reflective of a lot of current events. And not just current events, but also past events. I mean, these are things that's been going on for when this was made and to today. So I kind of I see that political dystopian touches. So there's definitely an interest, but I think I struggled to really connect because with some of the actors, I just didn't really connect with them as much as I would have liked to. I did enjoy some, not all of them. So I think I'm going to have mixed feelings about it.
And certainly, in terms of the delivery, it's very typical of a certain BBC approach to acting, in which we have a very staged approach in many ways. And Gareth Thomas, as the title character of Blake, clearly actually is going through a whole range of aspects. I did think it was an extremely bold decision. I mean, even more so that the false memories that he was being imprinted with, and of course the framing and the trial. Was obviously for the crime of paedophilia, which is something which I think in the day was shocking, but often we tend to think was is a relatively recent scenario. Plus, of course, you do have the almost Navalny-esque overtones of a political prisoner who basically wants to make a statement, and if he only actually kept quiet, he would be perfectly okay to a certain extent. But no, he wants to rebel and develop on that system. I mean, again, the line, you realize going outside is a category four crime. So he's clearly on the side of the whole system. And that also, I think, stays with us in terms of, yes, how often were we actually effectively across the globe forbidden from actually going outside, leaving our doors during the recent pandemic and so on. Pamela, did you have a similar issue with respect to Gareth Thomas and Stanley Niven and Robert Beatty and the actors that we saw in there?
Well, I think the interesting thing is that I've been in a weird, interesting vortex of acting because my daughter's been studying acting, and I feel like I've been learning so much about it academically in a way. And of course, I'm in love with RADA, and a lot of the actors that come out of RADA are phenomenal, but it is a different, it is sort of more sort of old school Shakespearean classical acting training. But I've come to really appreciate that just because, like I said, from a technical sort of academic way, I there's some gravitas that these actors have that I think we know by now. I tend to put American actors down, although I mean American actors are fantastic, but I think if there's anything lacking in some of the acting performances, especially from the 90s, is that they lack that sort of classical theater training. Some people get annoyed by it, others get moved by it. But I have to say, I liked it because for me, again, it could carry a scene without any music added to give you that extra emotion. They were carrying enough emotion. So no, that didn't that didn't really bother me. I'm also looking at it almost, I guess, is the word anthropomorphically or something? It's like, and I could be using the wrong term, but it's basically like a time capsule, like 1978. This is how things were made. This is the type of, you know, sci-fi sort of scenario. These are the things we were concerned with. And you're right, like the whole pedophilia, that was ahead of its time in a way to you know, accuse them of that. And also, again, you know, I am not insane. Like speaking out against the authority when the authorities clearly up to some really bad stuff. It's an understatement to say bad. I went with it. I went with it, but I think what won me over was the like aesthetically, it was just so adorable. Like even when it opened, I know it wasn't necessarily supposed to be adorable, but the color combinations and the whole like Epcot Center. No, I liked it. I have to say I like it, but I'm a dweeb anyway. So
it's interesting, of course, this is literally a few months after Star Wars has broken and broken big globally. And I think a lot of people at the time, I think I was one of them, and I'm sure Robin definitely was, kind of thought, oh, this is the BBC's attempt to do Star Wars because you've got an evil empire. And you can tell that they're evil because unlike the white stormtroopers or stormtroopers who were all dressed in white, here we actually had all the evil police in black, and they were negative from there. And literally when the whole sequence questions were there with the original thing, that they say we want to have a peaceful protest, they're just shot. And again, you could say that's a foreshadowing of Tiananmen Square. It's a foreshadowing of events recent times in Russia, events in a lot of countries with respect to that. But, you know, people who have a genuine disagreement for a genuine cause against the system, against the organization, effectively, they're not allowed to. They're suppressed. And indeed, the whole notion of having suppressants fed into the water, which is also feeding into that conspiracy theory of fluoridation and other areas. So again, I think there are a number of things that Terry Nation is taking to the fore here. I mean, Kathy, from your own sort of thing, I mean, I mentioned Navalny and the connections with that. I could see certainly a lot of connections between Rog Blake as somebody who echoed some of that, but also related to the probably more sophisticated advanced series 10 years earlier of Patrick McGoohan in The Prisoner.
Yeah, I found this to be really intelligent, to be completely honest. Like, they really thought it through, which is why, like, I admired the plot line so much. Like, it was complicated without it being overly, you know? I'm sure if I really wanted to nitpick, there probably is something that's slightly off here or there, but taking it as a whole and kind of going with the journey, and especially since when I think it's not to say that it lost me, because by the end of the first episode, I wanted to watch the second one. And I did. I watched the first 10 minutes of it before I was like, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to forget what I want to talk about. Like, let's hold back a little bit here. But it does take you through a journey that is very clever. It's very layered. And there's a lot of it's coming from a lot of different directions with the, but keeping in with the theme.
Yes, I think the shipping to the penal colony of Cygnus Alpha, etc., and of course the introduction of characters who would become regulars in certainly the first two seasons of Jenna, played by Sally Knivet, and Michael Keating's Villa, the pickpocket thief, who apparently got the role because people, the producers had been sufficiently impressed with his role as a guest star in the Tom Baker Doctor Who serial. About the Sunmakers, so I think he was hired on the basis of that. I mean, you spoke about the music, of course, Pamela. I mean, Douglas Simpson, of course, the very solid Empire-themed march that we actually hear to launch Blake 7, coupled with really the BBC Radiophonic Workshop at its height here, in terms of really sort of subtly putting in spot effects and various other things. There was about 20, 25 minutes of actual music dedicated to the programme, but it's interesting that it didn't overwhelm the text, overwhelm the narrative, and actually sort of lay it in that very Spartan, one might almost say minimalist approach to science fiction, in addition, of course, to your future colored backdrops as well.
Yeah, those boxes got me because, you know, actually I went online. I'm such a consumer. I was trying to find them because in my kitchen, we have a little chalkboard, well, a big chalkboard. And I was like, they would look so good if it put the chalk in the little fuchsia container and, you know, have it be sci-fi at the same time, retro sci-fi. And I, would you know, I cannot find anything that looks like that. It really made me sad. And the fact that they were judicial boxes, I mean, funky, you know?
It was certainly a classic case of looking at those in terms of the immediacy of the legal system and the way in which people can be chewed up and spat out. However, we mentioned the reference to The Prisoner and, of course, Patrick McGoohan. And we do know Jessica Burtis was a keen fan of the weather balloon Rovers, which we don't see in Blake 7. I'm not sure whether she saw references to Blake in references to The Prisoner in this particular thing. But Jessica, share with us, what are your thoughts on The Way Back?
Yeah, this was, so I didn't know what to expect. I'd never heard of this show before. So it was really interesting getting into it. And it was way more stark and policed and militaristic than I figured we'd be watching. It was really interesting, though. I'm trying to think of a show that's very similar. I feel like The Prisoner was like more playful in a lot of ways than this. This is a lot more serious and intense, and a lot of death in this first episode, with massacres and police violence and government corruption. There was so much going on. But it did make me want to keep watching. And I don't know if that's just because every time I would like a character, they would just die, and I need to eventually reach a point where a character I like lives. But I thought it was really interesting. I do want to keep watching this.
I mean, intriguingly enough, ultimately, and this is a big spoiler for, of course, episode 52 of the series, everybody dies. So it's in terms of all sorts of ways, etc. But I mean, I'd say shock horror, but it would take a long time to work our way through that. So, you know, it was released in 1981 when that happened, and indeed had a similar reaction to many of the British watching public at the end of the sequence. In fact, actually, there is one character who may have actually lived, but we never quite know because of the enigmatic style. And he hasn't actually been introduced to the audience as yet. He actually comes in episode 2, which Kathy may have actually found the character of Paul Darrow's incarnation of Kurt Avon, the computer specialist, and so on. So again, interesting lines of that. What about your favourite characters then, Jessica? Obviously most of them seem to be dying in all sorts of ways, but Pamela's already made a bid, and again, an anthropomorphized bid, really, for the little camera, from that sort of perspective. I thought the sort of driving things were quite cute, but so what about yourself? Where would you go for favourite character in this one?
You're mute.
It's that muted thing there. What, if she unmutes, all will be well with the world. Simply unmute Jessica, and there we go.
I really liked the couple. I liked how they weren't what I expected, the two that were involved with the law. And they, you know, things didn't go well for them, which was sad. But I think for the short time they were in this episode, I liked them. I can't remember the character names very well, especially in this show. I feel like it was hard for me to remember character names. I'm curious to see if I get attached to a longer lived, maybe if they don't live the whole time, longer lived character.
I mean, it has various times been described as the Dirty Dozen in space, a prison break scenario. I mean, Nation, I think, wanted to get away from the notion. I mean, the Daleks were pretty impressive in terms of a creation itself. And to be fair, this was the first series he kind of really turned to, given that the Daleks never quite managed to make it as massively in America as he hoped they would be. But nevertheless, you know, within all of those aspects, there were some interesting characters. Of course, we do see for Star Wars aficionados, Jeremy Wilkin playing Dev Tarrant. Jeremy Wilkin, of course, who would go on to be Boba Fett in the Star Wars Empire Strikes Back scenario. So there was a little nod in that direction. I do share, though, Jessica, that line that the two legal cells I would have liked to have seen more of. And I thought it was very sad that Tel Varan and Major Varan, played by Michael Halsey and Pippa Steele, again came to an unpleasant end, as indeed did the first two souls, who effectively managed to persuade Blake to go outside and meet up with the rest of the rebels as well, and the outsiders led by Robert Beatty's character of Bran Foster. Pamela, what about yourself? I mean, are you going to go down the line of Roger Blake, or are you going to stick with the special effects, etc.? Or do you? I mean, I think we must have a special mention for the legal team, of course, and the way in which Margaret John, as the arbiter, effectively sort of set the scene, you know, perfectly, and guilt is decided literally just by the battles of the light boxes.
What an interesting voice she had. Just like, you know, some people just have that kind of, it's more old school, but that sonorous, voluminous speaking voice. I don't know, just like such a tone in her speaking voice. I got sidetracked. I was like, does she sing? Or she's probably just done a lot of theater. You know? But anyway, I think it was Tal Varon, which is such a strange name. Michael Halsey, and I'm going to look him up because I'm just woefully deficient in knowing who actors are. But I liked him because he was trying to do a good thing. You know, when he found out there was some kind of, you know, something fishy, you know, didn't seem quite to add up. He did some research, and his beautiful wife, you know, was on board with him, and that was dangerous for them to do, obviously, as we know. But you know, he wanted justice served. So I'm going to choose him.
And Kathy. Carry on. Go on, Pamela.
Oh, well, the camera. Camera, non-human. Yeah. And the human is Tal Varon.
Okay. Nobody as yet has actually put forward Alta Morag, played by Susan Field, who, again, in a bizarre way, kind of epitomized the clearly the institutional power, but at the same time it was a case of, well, these were always only minor characters. There is another character who enters the series later on who became very much associated with Blake Seven, played by Jacqueline Pierce, and the role of Servalan, who again sort of is seen as very much the nemesis. But I think in some ways actually Morag's line was understated, but worked well. Lots of strong female characters, though. Kathy, to yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did really enjoy all the female characters. And I think I completely agree with Jessica. This is exactly what I was saying earlier, where I was like, the ones that I liked acting would die. Like, the ones who I really thought were really doing such a fantastic job were dying on me. So I kept having to change my mind who I was going to choose. And I also agree with Pamela when it comes to Tal Varon, because I just enjoyed, I connected with him when he was like, I'm going to take this a step further. But I think it's probably because I'm very involved with the news right now in current events, and especially watching all of C-SPAN and watching the hearing in the United States over TikTok. But that legal team, brutal. It was a similar style of questioning. So it was all becoming very real all of a sudden. But no, they're all excellent characters. And yeah, honorable mention goes to the technology. So I kind of agree with the team here. If I'm going to put them in order, I'm probably going to give it to Tal Varon first, and then the legal team.
Oh. Looking guilty is all it takes. Again, the chilling aspect, which I suppose actually has its roots in the Stalinesque era of the Soviet Union in the 1950s, really, which obviously was only 20 years before Blake Seven emerged, that actually that fear and the fact that nobody actually wants to rebel, or indeed is willing to actually take that step. And clearly that is the start of this rebellious nature that's coming through. Anything else you'd like to add, Pamela, before we go around for scores and such like?
Yeah, you know, I wonder if they, whoever they are, could just bring back that kind of style of presenting things. That's just like, I guess that's what retro is. I mean, that's, you know, that's why we appreciate it. But, you know, in music, yeah, you guys know, there's a lot of young bands that are doing sort of retro vintage kind of thing. They're doing it well, sometimes so well that you don't even know if they're from now or from back then, like the 70s or whatever. So I just would like to add frivolously that it would be so nice to have to watch something that was made today, but made in the style and took nods from that and used a lot more silence and didn't dumb down the audience and feel like you have to shake the audience every 5 minutes with some kind of music or sound effect or visual that's going to like knock us out of our stupor that we're getting from drinking whatever's in the water. You know? So yeah, I just, and I thought it was uber stylish in its late 1970s. I'm going to do a lot more research on that time period because things just looked groovy. Like, you know, it was just the haircuts, the way the people talked, their deliveries. Who was the girl that she got it? She got shot in the very beginning. She was the one that lured him outside. She had the cute little Dorothy Hamill hair. Yeah, she was natural, amazing. I loved her. She probably would have been my favorite if she hadn't gotten shot. Yeah, so a little all over the That's what I have to say.
I think it might have been Gillian Bailey's incarnation of Ravella. From that, looking at the cast list from that point of view. Okay, let's start beginning to collect some stores. Actually, before we do that, Jessica, did you manage to see The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy 2005, which we dissected last week?
I want to. I kind of want to wait till I'm back home with my parents because I feel like it's something that my dad would really like to watch, but I unfortunately could not. I was so sad to miss last week. It was very last minute with everything going on with me, but I am going to listen to the episode, so I'm very
Well,
interested to hear the scores.
we did figure, as it was St. Patrick's Day, and as you were based in Dublin, you might have had other things that might have been sort of occupying you at that stage. So, you know, there's a kind of rationale there. I suppose the only other excuse had been if you were in the St. Dublin, or in the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York City. But there we are. That's a different line. Does that still take place, Tamar?
I want to say yes. Faye, does that still take place? The St. Patrick's Day parade? Yeah, big thing, isn't it? Yeah, there was, you know, I was in Long Island City and my family came to visit, but there was absolutely nothing going on the streets. It was crazy. It was as, you know, I didn't even notice any people dressed in
No
green.
shamrocks, no green Guinness. Amazing. Anyway, enough of such diversion.
Yeah, anyway, what was
Jessica, what's your score for the way back of this opening episode of the series, 4 seasons it lasted in the end? And again, in some ways, still tends to polarize people. There are folk, including our very own Robin and Stephen Pierce, who do not like Blake Seven and don't mind actually admitting it. What's your score going to be for The Way Back?
I think I'm giving this a 7.5, because everybody I like kept dying, but I do want to keep watching. I do like the themes in this show. I think they're very interesting. I like the costumes as well. I thought the contrast between the military and the rebels was interesting. But I think especially the themes around using food as a means to control populations, that was very interesting. I like there's kind of a similar Roman concept. That was kind of based around food and entertainment to kind of quell the unrest in the masses. That I think is a very interesting concept to think about, because I think there's threads of it that still happen and very, very a little creepy. But I thought that was really interesting to explore in an episode, so I did enjoy it.
Yes, bread and circuses,
Thank
to
you.
quote the official line from there. So Michael E. Bryant directed it. I think costume-wise, and I think we see echoes of this in the original thing, there was also a reading of Blake Seven which suggests it was a modern-day version of Robin Hood. And we certainly see Roger Blake in the character of Robin Hood with his band of miscreants and so on, effectively stealing from the rich Federation and giving to the poor citizens of the galaxy. But that's, again, it comes with more embedding into the series. Kathy, where are you going to go score-wise?
I thought, yeah, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. Not that I did like it, so and I did keep on watching even after. I think that's what confused me, where I was like, I'm not sure about this. But I really would like to take this time to use my time to call out Robin and Steven. If they didn't like it, why aren't they here to defend why they didn't like it? I mean, I think it's kind of silly. This is the space. I don't think we're bullies. I think this is a safe space for you to tell us why it is what it is. So, Robin, Stephen, if you're hearing this, what's up?
Well said, Kathy. Pamela.
If I could follow that. Kathy, wow, you were saying what I was thinking. I'm like, okay, well, where they are, let them show up and defend. Because I'm actually surprised they didn't like it. There are many other. I think some things. See, we're totally bashing, you know. I think maybe sometimes, and I'm guilty of this as well. Nostalgia plays a lot into things, and sometimes you like something just because you liked it, you know, back in the day, and so you'll defend it. unless maybe you watch it again and go, oh my God, I'm embarrassed at me. Like, what was I thinking? Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8, just because, again, I don't use rationality or any kind of intellect to make my decisions. The number 8 came into my head as we were all talking and as the girls were scoring. The number 8, and also because, and this is a stretch, but I'd like to think that all those fictional characters, or be they in another realm, that even though they were like killed before their time, that 8, if you turn it on its side, becomes the infinity sign, and those characters in that realm will live on forever.
Until episode 52.
Each sense impression is filtered by the brain and slightly altered. That's all part and parcel of the whole thing. We'll find out, hopefully, also what Natalie Wanton makes of her first incursion into the world of Resonance Rewind, because she's going to join us in a postscript, hopefully from Australia, all being well. I'm probably going to go for a 7.5, I think, overall. I think it has a lot of key aspects as a series and as an episode. I think it's a very strong opening thing. It's a very dark opening. When you bear in mind that this was screened, as far as I could recall, at 25 past 7 on a Monday evening, so it was early evening family-based viewing. There was a lot of dark scenarios with respect to that. And speaking of dark scenarios, next week, 1 hour and 42 minutes, in which we actually explore the wonderful world of Galaxy Quest, directed by Dean Pariseau, and starring, of course, Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, and you'll be pleased to know this, Pamela, Alan Rickman takes a starring role in the next incarnation of what we're going to be analysing as far as the joys of Resonance Rewind is concerned, by Grab Thor's Hammer indeed. Galaxy Quest, keep on resonating. Well, as promised, we are able to go to Australia for a little amendment or addendum to the thoughts on the way back, Blake Seven. But this time it's a little bit interesting because, unlike the rest of the team who've watched the thing in its entirety, here we have somebody who's kind of just coming to this Blake Seven thing for the first time. So, Natasha Wanton, I also have to admit that I was incorrect when I said in the programme that this was your debut on Resonance Rewind. Of course, you made your debut on Resonance Rewind back in the wonderful world of episode 141, our look at Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, another text that Robin and Stephen Pierce both actively disliked. I don't know what's going on with them these days. I honestly don't. But if anything else, Kathy Manso has at least called them out, as indeed, if they listen to the programme, they will know that they have been called out and publicly called out on the Resonance Rewind platform. Anyway, enough of such stuff. Natasha, I know you've just seen clips of the whole thing, but what are your thoughts about this Terry Nation epic of 1978, launched, as we said, on the 2nd of January 1978? Was it something which you thought, this is intriguing?
Yes, mainly because I've not really heard of it before. And I like to think that I do like my sci-fi. So it was really interesting. I was looking into some of the backgrounds of it, and I think it ranked, I think, fourth as one of the most popular of all time, top 50 for British sci-fi TV series. Only losing, interesting, to Hitchhikers, which I guess is why you paired the two of them together, and a bit of Doctor Who. But no, I what I saw, I did like. I thought it was interesting. The opening was a bit nostalgic in terms of when you see anything from that era. I loved the little, it actually holds up pretty well, actually, the opening animation. I thought that wasn't a bad effort considering the tech in the time. No, it's a really interesting idea. I thought the characters, from what I could get from the clips that I saw, I thought that they were very interesting. And I like the fact that there's lots of different ways it's seeming to go. It doesn't seem like it's quite a straightforward bad guys, good guys kind of plot. So it'll be interesting to see how it functions. I'd like to get hold of more of it. If there's anywhere in particular you would recommend being able to get hold of it, Alex, I'd love to see more.
I think certainly all the series in its entirety is available for streaming via BritBox. You can also probably find other sources that are actually out there and accessible. And in fact, you can even use that well-known channel, which has a tube at the end of it, followed by a personal pronoun beforehand, which can, again, provide you with pretty much the series in its entirety, or at least complete episodes, which, again, is worth noting, shall we say. And then again, you could go old school and purchase the Blu-ray or indeed DVD box sets of the whole thing. But maybe that's a step too far for Australia these days.
Maybe. I don't know. They've got interesting media laws at the minute. We've got some interesting media battles happening with some of the giants. So they get funny about these things. But that's what VPN is for. That's what VPN is for. So it's all good. I'm sure I haven't actually listened to everyone's opinions because I my spam box ate it. But I would be interested to hear your thoughts on it. Would you rank it higher than Doctor Who? Do you think it's worthy of being ranked in the same list, Alex? Should I watch it?
Certainly the fact that it was written by Terry Nation, who gave the world the Daleks, it's worth noting that that is, I mean, clearly Terry Nation, the creator of the Daleks, so there is a connection within that. Also, a large number of crossovers, as we mentioned in the programme, Michael Keating had appeared with Tom Baker in Doctor Who, and obviously appears in pretty much the entirety of Blake Seven. The BBC Radiophonic Workshop are massively involved with both series. And as we said earlier, this is very much the height of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, working in lots of sort of wonderful ways, with Dudley Simpson, of course, producing the anthemic introduction to the series. Again, we'll hear more of that in a few moments in terms of the way that the thing delivers. It's very difficult to say because the series stands alone as a 52-episode package, although there are lots of other incarnations in both novelized form, in both big finished audio form and so on. There are a number of key things within the process in terms of you can see analogies to Robin Hood, you can see analogies to a range of things, and the traditional British underdog versus the invasive society and the administration, the Federation in essence. And it certainly is in the pathway of dystopian fiction and addresses a number of key things for reasons which, again, I won't repeat the spoiler I gave away during the actual program earlier. But again, do actually sort of open up a whole range of things. Better than Doctor Who, really difficult to say. Some episodes, yes, some episodes, no. It really depends in terms of where it sort of fits together, because Who has obviously generated a much greater legacy, despite the fact that, as you say, Blake 7 is very popular in certain ways. It doesn't seem to have quite managed to get the traction. And there have been lots of attempts. Sky, I believe, were looking to do a remake. I'm sure the remake option will be looking to develop, etc. Whether it happens, who knows? Maybe it was just something that occurred between the years of 1978 and 1981, which those of us who are around kind of appreciated, and indeed obviously appreciated when it was relaunched on many various satellite channels, including Sky and British Forces Broadcasting and so on, from that point of view onwards. So that's kind of the closest you're going to get to me not sitting on the fence on that particular side of things there. But I would certainly say, yeah, as with any text in Resonance Rewind, the reason we actually have the whole curation of the text and the reason we've actually got the next 98 texts lined up is primarily because we would suggest that, yeah, they're worthy of consideration on a number of levels.
Well, you've definitely convinced me. You have me at the Robin Hood dystopian vibes. That's definitely something that I would be interested in.
Excellent.
You've sold it to me better than Richard himself.
Well, there you are. So just on the basis of the clips you've seen, though, let's go for a few scores. Would you actually say that, would there be a favourite character that emerged from those clips? Or was it a case of, well, you'd really want to find out more about them?
I just have to check her name. I really like the female, I can't remember her name, the leading female in it. I thought that she came across very strong. I'm trying to think of her name.
Well, we do have.
I'm sorry, my brain.
We do have Jenna, of course, who's played by Sally Snivet.
Yes.
She was the smuggler, who we see,
yes,
sort of in the latter sessions. Is that the one you're opting for? Which is a good choice.
I think so. Yes. Yes,
excellent.
Yes, yes. I really liked it. It's interesting when you look at women sort of from this sort of that era of, I think, of TV and of film, to see the different depictions. And I liked her depiction. I thought that she was quite, she said it how it was, and she was quite gritty. And I quite appreciated that about her in a time when maybe female representation was sort of, I don't want to say limited, but it wasn't maybe as extensive as it maybe is portrayed in the media now. So no, I liked her.
Okay. And again, on the basis of the clips, a particular score out of 10, what would you be hovering around?
I'll give it a tantalization factor. I think it's definitely given me a good 8 tantalization factor. Like it's drawn me in, which I believe it was the first episode the way back, which is what we were looking at, wasn't it? Yeah. Which for a first episode is pretty good. You want to hook people. So no, I'd give it an 8 so far on the clips.
There we are, pretty much in keeping with the rest of the team. So before we actually head out with more Dudley Simpson music from the episode, and indeed possibly a theme tune to the whole episode as well, a reminder that the next Resonance Rewind, which is coming up very shortly, in fact, in 7 days from now, will be the delightful, wonderful world of Galaxy Quest. Keep on resonating. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.